friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. At the House of European Football in Switzerland Friday, the draw was held for the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, the world's premier club competition. Let's take a look at the matchups. Ajax Amsterdam of the Netherlands will take on Cristiano Ronaldo and Juventus of Italy. The English club Liverpool will play Porto of Portugal. In an all-English encounter, Tottenham Hotspur will face Manchester City, and the other big Manchester club, Manchester United, will meet Lionel Messi in Barcelona. The first legs will be played on April 9th and April 10th, and the second legs will be played on April 16th and April 17th. As fans look forward to the next round, more than a few football aficionados are dreaming of a UEFA Champions League final between Barcelona and Juventus. It would be an encounter featuring Messi and Ronaldo, widely regarded as the two best players in world football. Now, the way the draw is set up, if Juventus gets past Ajax, they will face the winner of Tottenham and Man City in the semifinals. And Barcelona will play the victors from Liverpool-Porto if they can overcome Man U. It's just a possibility at this point, but still a Messi versus Ronaldo UEFA Champions League final has fans very excited. The 2019 UEFA Champions League final will be played on June 1st in Madrid, Spain. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a look at this weekend's CAF Champions League fixtures. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Al Ahly and JS Saoura will battle for top spot in Group D of the CAF Champions League when they meet at the Borg Arab Stadium in Alexandria on Saturday. Egyptian giants Al Ahly will come into the match placed second on the log with 7 points and on course to reach the quarterfinals. This is despite them falling to a 1-0 defeat away to DR Congo Giants AS Vita in Kinshasa last weekend, with Tulisa Kisinda scoring a late goal for the Black Dolphins. In Group B, Horoya AC and Orlando Pirates will battle for a place in the quarterfinals when they meet at the Stade du 28 September in Conakry. The Guinean side are placed second on the Group B log with 7 points, while the South African Visitors are third on 6 points. Elsewhere, ASEC Mimosa will chase an unlikely berth in the quarterfinals of the CAF Champions League when the FAZ hosts Lobi Stars at the Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium in Enugu, Nigeria on Saturday. ASEC come into the match placed third on the Group A log, level on points with second place Wydad Casablanca, but ranked below the Moroccans on the head-to-head tiebreaker. Staying with football news, Black Stars head coach Kwesi Appiah has defended his call-up of 3 locally based players for the 2019 African qualifier against Kenya later this month. Kwesi Appiah's 24-man squad include Asante Kotoko's trio of Felix Allen, Amos Frimpong and Kwane Bontoro, all debutant for the national team clash at the Accra National Stadium.
May I believe in promoting our local players. You see, not the players themselves. What happens is, once you bring a player to the national team, if even he doesn't kick a ball, the main factor is mixed up with our professionals. His confidence levels rises, and they help our local league.
Elsewhere, Liberian national team coach Thomas Kojo has named a 20-man squad that will travel to Kinshasa to take on the Democratic Republic of Congo in the 2019 African Cup of Nations crucial encounter. Coach Kojo:
well, it's a mixture of
local players and foreign players. I think we have 9 local players in the team, and then the rest of the players are the foreign-based players.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, we often mention Swiss star Roger Federer on the Sunny Side of Sports. Roger is regarded by more than a few tennis fans as the greatest male player of all time. This evening, let's give some Sunny Side of Sports props to Belinda Bencic, Switzerland's highest-ranked female player. Belinda is through to the women's single semifinals at the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells, California, where she'll play Germany's Angie Kerber. Nick McCarvel and Craig Gabriel had a chance to chat with Belinda after her quarterfinal victory over Karolina Pliskova in Indian Wells. Here's Nick.
And our next guest, a special guest, she's into the semifinals here for the first time, and she's inside the top 20 with a series of great wins, including a win over world number one Naomi Osaka. Craig Gabriel, I'm talking about...
Back in the top 20.
Back in the top 20, that's right. It's Belinda Bencic. Belinda, congratulations.
Hi, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us here in the radio booth, and great win today over Karolina Pliskova. I feel like the biggest asset you have for your game right now is confidence with a capital C.
Yeah, you can definitely say that. I'm feeling very good on the court with my game, and I think, things are working out. I did the hard work, and now I think it's paying off. So definitely really happy about that. And, I'll just try to keep going like this.
Belinda, when was the last time you enjoyed your tennis as much as you're enjoying it right now?
Don't get me wrong. I always enjoy playing tennis.
I know that.
No, but definitely, now I'm just, I have a different perspective after all my injuries. So it's definitely great to be healthy, to be back on the court. So that's the number one priority thing. And then obviously, it's a great bonus winning as well. So just really enjoying the work right now and not feeling the pressure at all.
How do you not feel the pressure? Because we get to watch you from up high here and everyone here at the BNP Paribas Open watching you from inside Stadium One, watching you internationally on TV. When you're out there, I think you've been through so much off the court. At this point in your career, do you feel like this is a bonus now that you're... Craig was almost calling it, a second career?
A second
that you're coming
career,
back
really? But the thing is, I knew you when you first came onto the tour, and then you had the injuries, and you had so much time off, and you've worked your way back. So, in other words, it's almost like a second opportunity, isn't it?
I don't see it like that. It's one career, and for a career, it's always going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be injuries because, that's the life of an athlete. So I think that's completely normal, and definitely, it taught me so much. So I'm really, grateful to be back, obviously, but also the time off the court, exactly. Like I said before, it taught me a lot. So now when I'm on the court, I'm not feeling the pressure because... Yeah, I remembering the worst times when I was not able to play at all.
Sure. Well, what I loved what you said on court today was your dad knows what to say and when to say it, but then also your dad knows what not to say. And I think that's a big impact for a coach, but also for your father, because you guys spend a lot of time together, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. But, obviously he knows me the best, as a person as well. So he knows my tennis the best as well. He knows what I have to do, to feel great on the court. Sometimes I feel for a tennis coach, he also has to be sometimes psychologist because, it's so mental out there. So it's really not about the tennis anymore. The top players, we all can hit the ball, equally good. So it's really about the mental part as well.
That's something I always remember Boris Becker saying, that it's fine, everybody can hit backhands and forehands at this level. And then when you get into the final set of the match, it's not about backhands and forehands, it's all about the mind. Mm.
Yeah, I definitely agree with him.
You liked her answer to a special question yesterday,
yes,
right?
Yes, I liked this. I think you were asked, Who would you like to be for 24 hours?
Oh.
And who'd you say?
Who did you say? Go on. Who did you say?
Well, I said Roger Federer.
That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, because I would just like to know how is it to play so good the one-handed backhand and just to just play so effortless and so elegant on the court.
It's almost as if he's floating when he's moving on a court.
Yeah, that's what I want to experience in these 24 hours.
That very point was put to Roger yesterday.
Somebody
said that to him in his press conference, and
he got a good smile out of it.
He thought it was wonderful, and he said that, "Oh no," and he said, "I am very proud of her. I'm very proud of what she's done. We had chats at Hopman Cup. She's learnt so much. She's developing so much." So then somebody said, "Well, who would you like to be for 24 hours?
I hope he said me, no?
He should have, obviously.
He should have, but he said a rock musician.
I'd love to see Roger up there.
Yeah, I think that was a more smart answer.
I feel like Roger would be, what, a lead singer? He'd be a good lead singer, right?
Yeah, he'd have to be.
You celebrated your birthday earlier here this week, 22. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You had red velvet cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that a tradition, or what do you usually go for on... Maybe you have to make it a tradition here in Indian Wells.
Well, I already did one because now for the third or fourth year, we always go to Cheesecake Factory on my birthday. So it's definitely a tradition already.
Good.
Is that your favorite food, cheesecake?
Chipotle and Cheesecake Factory.
Chipotle and cheesecake. Perfect.
Yes, it's very difficult. But the first thing I do when I come to the United States, it's to go to Chipotle.
Chipotle and cheesecake.
You know what?
Yum.
Yeah. I mean, and then when you're if you're in London around Wimbledon time, there's one down and towards the town.
Yeah, there is. I've been to that one.
Yeah, I've been to that, of course.
Awesome. All right. Well, one more.
Sure. Yeah. Looking ahead, Belinda, with Angie, what are your thoughts going into that match?
With Angie, I think the rallies would be much longer, and I think we know each other well, so it will be very much tactical, and of course, you know, she's a great mover on the court, great defensive player, so...
That Swiss tennis player Belinda Bencic, who has advanced to the women's singles semifinals at the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells, California. And Belinda was talking with Nick McCarville and Craig Gabriel in Indian Wells. And thanks to Nick and Craig for that interview. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Horse riding isn't new to Southern Africans. Many in countries like Lesotho, South Africa, and Zimbabwe ride in their villages or patrol the farms they work on horseback. But polo is a pursuit generally played by rich elites across the world, and mostly by super wealthy whites. However, in South Africa, this is changing. The sport's attracting growing numbers of black Africans who are shattering the stereotypes. Darren Taylor has this feature for the Sunny Side of Sports.
The one thing I like about these South African players, they play a really good classic four-man polo. They know where
TV commentary from a South Africa versus England polo match. The game's played on a very big field. Two teams, each with four players, try to outmaneuver one another on horseback. With long wooden mallets, they try to score more goals than their opponents by hitting a small plastic ball through goalposts.
Polo is expensive. It really is. It's because of the number of horses that we have and the quality of horse flesh that we have and the time that we take to prepare our horses, and that's where the big cost lies, you know.
Craig James is polo manager at the Nanda Club in Johannesburg. He says in the past, only South Africa's white elite could afford to play the game.
In South Africa, a lot of the polo players were from polo-playing families, so farmers traditionally. And if you weren't born into a polo family, it's unlikely that you would have been exposed to polo or had the opportunity to play.
But by allowing far less privileged people to use his club's horses and equipment, James is changing the sport's image. Lakheedon Singor leads horses to a field to train them. He's part of a new, albeit small, wave of black polo players in South Africa. He's a former groom at the Inanda Club. Nsingo was raised on a farm near Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
I love horses because I grew up with horses. And then I started to ride a horse when I was 9. Now my level of experience riding is 15 years riding horses.
Nsingo's knowledge and love of horses made him ideal for James's polo development program. Nsingo puts a bridle on a horse and prepares to ride. He's a tall, slender man. He wears a helmet covered in camouflage print, skin-tight tan pants, and long, shiny brown leather boots. Because of men like Nsingo, says James, there's now black muscle on South Africa's formerly lily-white polo fields.
Going forward, how the perception's changing is by involving guys like Lucky. Lucky is really critical to the success of my operation here at the Nanda Club. Without him, I couldn't do it. He's got some children that he's coaching, so he functions as my assistant coach.
Nsingo guides horses on a gallop around a dirt track. He says up until about a year ago, all he knew about polo was that it was a Ralph Lauren clothing label, until James taught him the game that's now his passion.
I had someone teach me very good to have some rules and stuff like that, like how we stick with the man, how we play, how it goes, how this and this. So I'm very happy about it. I did very good because it's the thing I never done before.
Nsingo says his relatives and friends often don't know what to say when he tells them he's a polo player.
No, they don't know what it is, but they're really excited because polo is all over the world.
As an agitated horse kicks a stable door for food before crunching a carrot, Nsingo explains he's now teaching the next generation of African polo players.
I've got some young ones coming up, some young juniors, so I'm looking forward to teach them to have some skills. I hope to have more teaching the young ones to grow up and show us the skills.
James describes Nsingo and his pupils as polo pioneers.
The transformation is kind of happening where we're showcasing more of these guys that are coming from a bit more humble beginnings. And also through the school initiative, we're now making polo accessible because you no longer have to own 5 or 6 horses just to get started. You could come to Inanda and learn how to play rather than having to buy the whole setup and then...
His dream is for polo to be a game played by many black Africans, not just the current few. But for that, James needs more quality, expensive horses.
And that is a limiting factor at the moment, which we are slowly but surely overcoming. And, you know, we're finding sponsors that are getting behind these initiatives and saying, look, let's get behind a guy and push him all the way to the top and see how far he can go.
In the near future, James wants his trainees to compete internationally, including at the Polo World Cup. He's convinced this will happen, especially if South Africa's new elite offers support.
I think if you look at the wealthy in this country now, a lot of these guys are black guys. Very, very good businessmen, leaders of the industry. Having more black players playing will involve more of these guys.
He also wants to get poor kids off the streets and onto polo horses while educating them academically at the same time.
They may not become professional polo players. I'm fine with that. But if we've bettered their life and they meet someone through polo in the industry, which puts them in some fancy corporate job one day, you know, that's the ultimate goal.
For now, it's only a few men like Nsingo who are kickstarting Africa's polo revolution. But the so-called sport of kings may eventually see new, unexpected faces ascending the throne. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
The Voice of America.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the Toronto Raptors were missing two key players, but they still posted a comfortable victory over LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's John Letherby reports from Toronto, Canada.
Toronto down the LA Lakers 111-98 despite missing Kyle Lowry with an ankle injury and Serge Ibaka serving a suspension. Toronto was never really threatened in this one, with the Lakers only outscoring the Raptors in just one quarter. Kawhi Leonard had 25 points, while Norman Powell, starting for the injured Lowry, finished with 20 points and 8 rebounds.
Felt a little different, but it was a lot of fun. I was talking to Nick yesterday about it. With Kyle being questionable on if he was going to play or not. It was a lot of fun. I can get used to it a little bit.
LeBron James was the game's top point getter. He had 29.
We had turnovers, and we had some offensive rebounds that we gave up at critical point times of the game. You know, some of them, we either have two or three guys around the ball, and they were still able to come up with them.
The Raptors have now won 9 straight over L.A. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. LeBron James and the struggling Lakers lost for the 6th time in 7 games, further denting their fading playoff hopes. In Indianapolis, Indiana, the Indiana Pacers made a big second-half comeback to edge the Oklahoma City Thunder by 2 points. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis.
The Pacers came back from a 19-point third-quarter deficit to beat the Thunder 108-106. With just under 2 seconds left, Indiana guard Wesley Matthews grabbed an offensive rebound and tipped the ball in for the winning basket. Russell Westbrook then missed a 3-point attempt at the buzzer. The Pacers were led by Domantas Sabonis with 26 points.
It's a big win. You know, we have... Every team basically left is a playoff team, and that's what we're going to face. So it's great preparation. We know we can do it. We just got to bring it every night now.
Former Pacer Paul George led Oklahoma City with 36 points. Westbrook had his 27th triple-double of the season. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. On The Voice of America. The Utah Jazz are currently in 6th place in the NBA's Western Conference, a position that would get them into the playoffs. The Jazz trounced the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves on Thursday night, as we hear now from the AP's J.P. Chunga in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Defense and Donovan Mitchell's team-leading 24 points powered the Jazz to a 120-100 victory against the Timberwolves. It snapped the host's 2-game home losing streak. Karl-Anthony Towns was Minnesota's top scorer with 26, but he fouled out with 4 minutes to go. Despite the numbers, Utah center Rudy Gobert was pleased with his matchup against the Wolves' big.
He's a very talented player, and it's always a good challenge for me. But I think we did a great job, you know, as a team. So, I mean, we won the game by 20.
Gobert turned in a double-double, 10 points and 13 boards. Utah out-rebounded Minnesota 49-38. The Wolves collected a 7th straight road loss. J.P. Chunga, Salt Lake City.
Thanks, J.P. Elsewhere around the NBA, star guard Kyrie Irving posted his 2nd career triple-double to help lead the Boston Celtics to a 126-120 victory over the visiting Sacramento Kings. Kyrie tallied 31 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds. And that wraps up the March 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge, this one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. After weeks of military brinkmanship between Pakistan and India, can the two nuclear-armed rivals reach a consensus on the disputed territory of Kashmir? And what about peace talks with the Taliban in Afghanistan? An update on South Asia. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international group of researchers led by the University of Zurich has released a study that provides a new understanding into the evolution of human speech. The study authors say their findings put to rest previous theories that suggest the wide assortment of sounds produced by humans has remained fixed throughout the history of mankind. The study proposes sounds such as th and th, which are commonly used in many languages today, developed recently because of changes to the human bite. The bite changed, they say, as the result of a shift in diets from nothing but hard and tough foods to those that include processed and softer foods. The softer foods allowed humans to maintain the slight overbite of a child rather than the upper teeth shifting back in adulthood to directly meet the lower teeth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. This week, a newsmaker interview with first-term Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, a Democrat from the state of Virginia. We'll talk with her about a range of domestic and foreign policy issues, from immigration reform to the U.S. role in the world. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years. VOA.
This is